Looking to go out in the town in the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those that wish to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does.
Welcome back, Steel and Azers. We're here for another special edition of a Showtime Magic interview. Joining us today is the Purple Banner Media Market Network, followed by Katia and LJ. So thanks for coming on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Excited to be here.
Absolutely. I busted out the Miller Lights. I don't have any bounce back brews today, which just dropped officially. So congratulations to the team on that. So I'm sure we'll be drinking it this summer.
Can you guys explain that beer? It's advertised as a beer you drink during the day. What does that exactly mean?
It comes straight from Timmy's heart, right?
So bounce back.
It's one of those beers that you never thought that you needed, but now it exists. It's in reality. It came from his gambler's mentality. He's the type of guy that likes to start drinking during the day, which means you have to start early.
He's home by the sundown. Like, that's every time he drinks, he's a drinker.
And he's been a perennial Miller Latte drinker, Miller Lite. And I think it was time just to be able to bring something to light that was a little bit more his character profile. And so we're excited to do it. I mean, he's a wild man. He literally paid for and started this company without tasting the product once.
That's a bold strategy.
7,800 cans sitting behind us.
To this right now, he has not had it. I had it yesterday. He's tasting it for the first time in name drop in like an hour. And he felt strong. He was like, I want it to be live. I want it to be the first taste on camera. So I've had it. I am actually not even a beer drinker, but I actually really liked it.
So how would you describe it? Like, what kind of flavors are in it? Is it like fruity?
It's like an elevated Miller Lite.
Okay. All right. So it has like the light lager taste almost.
Yeah, exactly. It's a light lager. It's actually funny. The brewmaster who created it, they actually specialize in like really, really unique craft beers. And they have a really great reputation, especially around Southern California. And he was like, we don't do this. Like, this is not the beer that I make. Like, I don't even want people to know that we made this in the sense. So it has like really good qualities of strong craft beer, but it's light.
Yeah. And have you had it, LJ, yet?
No, I haven't had it yet. I'm doing a year of sobriety.
Okay.
I got a wife with a baby on the way. I do think I need to break it just a little bit today to be able to taste what the heck's going on.
Do a sip.
Yeah. We know what we're marketing here.
Exactly.
But yes, this beer is like right up my alley. I like the whole, like, I just like a light beer with like a burger while I'm watching the game.
It's kind of funny the more that I think about it too, because everyone, when you come out with a beer, it's like, oh, it's like something new. It's got to be this like fantastic thing.
We got a dog in the back here.
you're fine. Hey, like I said, you're on Sunset Boulevard.
Social House on Sunset right now. Minro's attacking. It might be one of the bounce back beer distributors. If we were the only people distributing bounce back, I'd actually think that this is not a distributor beer.
But it's interesting because you know everyone wants something different, something like, especially in the craft beer craze. But you forget that like most of those beers are not for every single person. And 99% of people who drink beer are going to drink a light craft beer, a light beer during the day, day drinking. So it really is the beer for everyone.
Yeah, well, because if you're the type of person that's going to drink 30 beers in a day,
starting at 9 a.m.
No,
not at all. So,
a breakfast beer of like a East Coast IPA. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
And I think we found a lot of like dudes settle, at least into this, like, we got into the craft markets. Absolutely, like, you're gonna like it. It's fun. You're gonna try out all this shit
for like a second.
But then you start really going back and like watching games and sitting at a bar on a Sunday and starting at 10 a.m. here on the West Coast. You can't dive into all that. Mm-mm. So I find a lot of my friends going back to like the Miller Lights, the Bud Lights. And so now we're back at Titty Bounce Back to give some, you know, just a little different flavor for everybody. Yeah. But it still tastes like piss, so don't worry.
See, I'm
that
actually
was the descriptions to the brewer.
It's true.
Make it just taste like piss.
Yeah, he seems like a wild man. I know he's friends with Bob Mennery, who he had on recently, so I could see them being along the same type of character. say
it's madness.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is about these like YouTube creators, the level of like manic chaoticness that we see on a daily basis is absolutely hilarious. And that's kind of what our company is about. We kind of come to one, be around like really good-hearted, fun people that we think, you know, shines like positive fun light on the world, but at the same time we hopefully like stabilize it like just a little bit,
right? Bring some professionalism,
and we find ourselves doing a job in the middle.
Yeah, and a little plug, if you haven't seen the name drop episode in Vegas of Bob and Tim, it's actually like the perfect scary example of like chaos. It was shot in the Cosmopolitan. There was way too many Miller lattes that were had that day. It's chaos.
A lot of people don't know we're 50 floors up.
Yeah,
and Tim did scream probably 10 to 12 times, I'm gonna throw him off the balcony if he doesn't shut the fuck up. So
check out the episode.
Wait, right, I did see some clips from that video when he was FaceTiming Steve. He's like, I'm throwing Bob off the podcast.
Yeah,
he does a pull away.
He looked in his eyes, you know, Tim was like, the cards start flying and he starts counting. And if he counts cards like pretty well, but sometimes they still don't count in his favor. When they don't count in his favor, he gets this crazy eye. And we're like, we either got to get a card to get him home, or else someone's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll kind of dive now into the media market aspect of you guys. So for Purple Banter, I want to know how you guys got the name, how you guys got started, where the idea come from, and kind of just where it's gone since you started.
Yeah, I mean, Purple Banter kind of comes inspired from, one, we're from Minnesota, so purple has always been specifically like my favorite color. It's from the Vikings. We went to the school St. Thomas. It was a purple school as well. I also find myself being oddly like purple politically. And
I love that answer.
So there's so many things where we really see media right now that we wanted to at least like kind of push ourselves in the market to see how we could provide some value. Because one, everybody loves like comedy, everyone loves sports. These new evolving characters, like, you know, the Tims, the Bob Mennerys, the Steve Wildewitz, they all have like really streamlined teams, and you'd be surprised how many people are not a part of those teams. Mm-hmm. And in this chaotic media world, there isn't as much stability as you would really assume on the back end. So we kind of meet the market in a place where, one, we have the stability of team through basically just like Batya, but to be able to allow this new age of media to have the streamlinedness, the cost effectiveness, the ability to kind of come where you're at. Like, we don't have a studio, but we have a relationship with State Social House, with Barney's, with the Andas. And so our studios really become what you would call like characters within all of our shows. And then, you know, we also want to approach media in a space where like it's okay to one, laugh bullshit about everything, and then be able to also like touch things like on political basis or cultural basis, and you can get like passionate about those things. And I love the beauty of continuing to like educate ourselves on like where we are and where we're going as a cultural whole, but being able to still find yourself being able to like joke and have fun.
Yeah.
and then also like dive into a deep conversation within the next 10 minutes too. And I find too many media outlets right now are, you always have to choose, right? You either have to be like, you know, RIP Jerry Springer, or you have to be like Tucker Carlson, right? But when it really comes down to it, we all find ourselves like somewhere in all of those spaces. And so we hope to be able to build kind of a loose collective of, you know, podcasts and entertainers that we can support and say, do you, like, on all levels. I don't care if you're left, right. I don't care if you're a goofball that just wants to drink 30 beers a day and market beers like that. Like, we're here for it as long as you like have good intentions in your heart. Right. You know, at the end of the day, like, let's at least be trying to create a world that's like, that's fun loving and
here for what you're saying to
authentic too. That's absolutely
America. Don't get like, you know, of course there's Monroe.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You just want everything to be authentic as possible and fun and build these characters. I mean, we always kind of joke that Barney's Beanery, which is for those of you on the East Coast that are listening, it's the oldest. Top five, one of the oldest, it might be the oldest right now, bar in West Hollywood. There's like, it's the best dive bar you've ever seen, but also has this weird like celebrity factor to it too. Tim likes to joke that it's the coffin above grounds, but seriously, once you see it, it really is. It's kind of scary. But Barney's has not only become like our office, but it's just projected our business in various ways that we never thought possible just because of the natural interactions and people that we meet in these spaces.
And then, you know, where you're seeing us evolve too is there's this interesting relationship between creators and product. And we really want to find ourselves to be able to help those creators create product that then support the shows or the different passions that they have.
LJ has like a background in product in particular. I have a background in sports media, so just a natural transition how all of this kind of came together.
Keep it light, fun, but also focus on some level of like one growth, stability, and then a place for people that can come and say, hey, like, I'm going to be able to see a little bit of everything here, and they actually allow it to rock.
Right. So are you guys going to be carrying the Bounce Back Brew in the house right there?
And it's already there. It's already here.
Yeah. So at State Social House and at Barney's right now. And, you know, this is going to be a pretty limited run at the immediate space where it's, you know, we're in the Norma Triangle, which is like, you know, ground zero of West Hollywood. And we find ourselves where, you know, Tim doesn't leave the Norma Triangle. We joke that he's the mayor of Norma Triangle. And we find ourselves just because our company in itself was just focused on this area too, where, you know, this being from Minnesota, this has always been a place where I've seen a lot of like, it's definitely inspired me or helped me believe that culture is being created in these spaces. And we wanted to just land our company in a spot that said, well, if a lot of people are looking at these spaces to be able to help us understand what's happening in culture, fashion, comedy, or music, let's be one of those centerpieces moving into the future that is also just putting things on it in a place that seems a little bit more real to where people are truly at.
The other thing that I, being a West Hollywood resident, you know, things changed really with COVID and just the energy and just the appeal of being in this neighborhood. Yet there's so many iconic, like lifelong places that are here on the Sunset Strip. So us being able to play a part in that and kind of hopefully bring the energy and good vibes and notoriety back to this neighborhood, I think is really important for me personally. Just to, if, you know, if people, like we were saying earlier, want to come and listen to Name Drop and they're like, oh, I have to go to State Social House because that's where Name Drop is filmed. Like, that's hopefully what we can create.
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it too when you talk about that product space, especially with a lot of these creators too. Like, you look at Logan Paul with this Prime trying to take over the Gatorade marketplace. Like, a lot of these people are paying, like, these big companies like Gatorade have to just basically essentially pay money for their marketing, where a lot of these creators, where they have these followings and these backgrounds, it's more just like organically driven to them where they'd want to support this person. So, like, I feel like that's a huge space. So I think you nailed
it. Shout out to Happy Dad.
There we go.
Got the happy dad shirt here.
Let me see that. I can't stand up.
It's a bunch of. It's this interesting new era of what, you know, like media and product really looks like. And I don't really think there's going to be as, it doesn't matter as much if you're like completely a Miller Lite or a Gatorade of a PepsiCo's and stuff that you have to like own the whole market anymore. Like niche works, it supports who that person is that you care about or that the things that they're providing like gives you some level of value. And so I do think like these very niche markets where, you know, in our world, Happy Dad and Prime are synonymous with these people that are creating the new like Mount Rushmore to how to do it. Now, in a lot of other rooms that you can walk into, people have never even heard these names yet, yeah. Right? But I really feel like there's a wave coming to shore that what was previously established is just not going to be as understood anymore. And these people are really pioneers of just creating new marketplace. And the best part about it is not like these are first movers that are now going to like own the entire sphere. What they're doing is they're first movers that are proving that as long as you have a really captive audience and you understand what they desire and it's and you're providing products that are really close to home, people will fuck with it.
Yeah, I mean, perfect example. Like you bring up Happy Dad, you're wearing a Happy Dad shirt. You are obviously in that niche. I'm assuming a consumer that you're wearing the product, but I just had a conversation even just an hour ago with someone who's in the alcohol space in Philly. And they're like, what is this Happy Dad? Like they didn't even know what it was. So there's just all these little touch points that we can insert ourselves into.
Yeah.
Is Bounce Back, that beer, is that just going to be like a West Hollywood thing or is there any chance?
For the moment.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah.
I want to try one like right now.
I know.
We got to make a trip out here.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the legality is of shipping beer across state lines.
I was going to say, like, I'd buy it. I'd buy it right now.
Package goes. But yeah, for a while, like a lot of these things are going to stay pretty close to home and allow us to, we're kind of, I don't know, I guess from the ethos of like what we do is we do like to fly the plane before we completely like have all the gas in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're willing to like start small and just grow in a place that makes sense. It doesn't have to be like, let's take up the entire market immediately. We go show by show, creator by creator, and then, you know, build products slow through that because we're really looking at everything as more of a 10 or 15 year play to say, we just want to make sure that within that time frame, we're hopefully some of the individuals that understand that marketplace and are creating value for people within it.
Right. How long have you guys been, how long has Purple Banter been a thing? Like when did you, how many, is it
really,
is it new, brand new?
Yeah, it's really a year.
A year.
You know, been dabbling with it for maybe 2.5, 3 years, but it's really been a year where we have finally, you know, established ourselves, made some sense of what we're doing. A lot of it was playing around, uploading videos, figuring out what we did wrong, going back to YouTube and being like, typing in like how to upload this video,
yeah,
right? Or how to edit this thing. And so
our first show was Vikings Weekly.
Our first show being, you know, Vikings Weekly, where we were just like, hey, we were both in these interesting career spots. I had a company that was going down because we'd raised about $3.5 million and the guys that gave us the funding started embezzling money through it. Nice. So they ended up stealing like $2.2 million from me and two of my best buddies.
Jesus. Sorry about that.
So,
I'm
just gonna do the script that's coming.
It's a journey. It's a beautiful, like, I love the journey of life. And those are the fun stories that I'm so blessed to be able to have $2 million stolen from a billionaire in Malta. Like, that's hilarious. It's out of control.
You're right. Yeah, everything happens for a reason. It's a story for a podcast.
His shell holdings are in Malta. He lives in Cyprus.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff that I just think is funny. Like, it's unbelievable that we get to live this life and this journey. And I unfortunately prayed this prayer. I'm like, yo, I really want to make, you know, be able to build like a place where, you know, we can jump into the media sphere and see it kind of for like what it is, and then see where our creativity can be a part of it. And within 6 months, that company was dead.
Was that the juice bot company originally?
That's juice bot. Yeah. That's juice bot. It's gone. It's owned by a shell company that was bankrupted. I think they bankrupted it like 3 months ago. They gave us a call and said, "Hey, we're gonna, you know, kind of bankrupt and shut this thing down."
Fuck.
So you're the main host for the Vikings Weekly.
I would say our main host right now is this, our new host, Luke.
Luke is awesome.
Yeah. So we just brought him on 2 weeks ago. He actually knows like the ins and outs of like strategy, sports, all of the different names from college and pro. Where
first started, I was like still in the sports media world and could like give you some insight. And now we're just so busy that I'm like,
right. Because now you're hosting the come up too. So
like, don't get me wrong, but there's elements to the nuances of the sport that like a person who's like really desiring like new, authentic, like what is happening today information, I can just be like, I think that the Vikings are going to be the best team on earth, and they're going to win the Super Bowl. I really do think like now the Vikings are in a space where they can win the Super Bowl immediately. But
this is how we open every Viking season, by the way. LJ saying, this is the year that the Minnesota Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like shoot our GM and it's super dope. But Quezzy's dope. I love this guy.
He's done like such a good job of, he's like a natural, and he's an actor / director. But so he has like a little bit of a presence just naturally, but he's really just kind of fallen into this role. And I'm like always texting him. It's so fun. I'm like, you're going to be our little star.
We found someone with legitimacy that can make it happen. We also have this guy, Johnny Sweets, which, you know, it's like one of the segments that we have with him is like Johnny Sweets on the spectrum stats. So, you know, he can definitely like dive really deep, but it's not always coming from a legitimate point of clarity.
Be like, you guys see that receiver out of Montana, CC, like he has his routes were insane. And we're like, no, we didn't catch
nobody did
Montana's CC's name last week.
For example, like Johnny Sweets, when he moved in with me, he actually came on board with Juice Bot early days. Right, I had to fire him within like a month and a half because, like, we're like, dude, we just messed up. Like, you can still live here, like, we love you, but like, you're not like an employable individual, even though he has a great job right now. And so he quit, and we're like, you still have to pay rent, right? And he started betting on women's tennis.
Yep,
and more money than anybody in our company betting like late night women's tennis. And the worst part about it is like there was always like these Australian matches happening at like 4 a.m.
Yep.
Screaming, he's like, dude, I just won $3,000 off of like blah 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 Shorakova.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you know this?
Even when like, you were talking about how he comes in with like those stats about the like Washington team, whatever, I'm like, he's probably betting that game. That's the only reason he's dialed.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Are you guys big gamblers?
I recently started getting into it within the last year, and one of my best friends is actually a huge tennis buff too. So I've had to stay up for some of those 4 a.m. Australia.
He's done that.
Tennis, UFC. Like if you can get some good UFC picks, I mean golf's not like a hot take, but seems like people make a lot of money.
Yeah, honestly, I was going to say women's tennis, men's tennis is like kind of hotter, not because it all depends on like the court style. Like, so right. Yeah, it's there's so many different variables, but with those different types of sports, anything can happen instantaneously as far as like a break goes. So you have one break the other way, you could have like a plus 1400 odds for like the main favorite. And as soon as they have one break, all of a sudden it's plus 1800 the other person. So you literally can make money either way. So like you're literally nonstop dialed in watching the live betting. But yeah, I've started getting into it more recently. How about you guys? You guys bet at all?
I know I've maybe given a little bit of money to John's bookie once. So I have put some money through him on a women's tennis match before just to say that I've done it. The problem is we surround ourselves with such heavy gamblers that like, for example, I mean, Bounce Back with Ponies is chaotic. I had my wedding last July, and one of my groomsmen comes up to like the groomsmen dinner. He's like, dude, I was just at Barney's Beanery, and this guy was screaming at the TV. It's 4 p.m. on a Friday. And he's like, I have so much money on the line. I have my rent on the line. I have my mortgage on the line. He's screaming. And then he won it. And he's like, dude, I just met this like crazy character. I'm like, did you just meet Tanner? And he was like, oh my God, yes, that's the guy. I'm like, yeah, that's actually like, and at that point, I'm like, that's my boss. I'm a 35-year-old intern for that guy. And he's like, dude,
yeah,
that's a weird thing.
That'll scare you away from gambling when you see a guy like that.
So actually, we are huge gamblers.
We pitched our wagon to some individuals that are betting their life on it. Yeah.
I'm going to be a degenerate gambler every football season, and then like I never have any money to bet. So it's actually probably a really good
thing. Yeah.
No one give me money, but.
And that's the problem is like, I do find myself only having enough time to really watch the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, I do try to get into the variety of other sports. The Timberwolves, unfortunately, they just aren't good. You know, like ever since we had Garnett, and then we had like the cream team with Rubio and with Love. When Jimmy Butler came to town for a second, I was like, oh, I can definitely get into this team. Like Carl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, this makes a lot of sense. Once Jimmy Butler said that Carl Anthony Towns is like a bitch and I can't deal with like his lack of work ethic, and then the GM decided to have him leave because we're like, well, let's have a team that has fun instead of wins championships. Right. That's tough to do.
It's like Ted Lasso.
Yeah. And then like I grew up more like hoping for the North Stars to come back in the Wild, which is tough. But it's like we should at least be able to steal that name back somehow.
Yeah, there's so many Minnesota. I mean, the Lakers and the North Stars are two team names. We're like, just give those back. Like it actually makes no sense. Yeah. Dallas and LA. Like just it's Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So
the coolest moment I ever saw with the Twins was it was like a play-in game for the Twins. And it was at the old Metrodome that were like, when you hit the home run, it would bounce back into the field.
Off the dome.
And A-Rod, like, in the bottom of the ninth, hits this fucking rocket off, bounces off the thing, and he's, like, trotting around. He's like, I'm going back to New York. I'm going back to J-Lo. And all you people in Minnesota can just fuck off. And unfortunately, that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. He just like trots around the base passes and it's just Minnesota sports is difficult, right? These are Boston guys, you don't get it.
We didn't get it for a while, but now we're transitioning into the era of having bad sports teams. So
how old are you guys?
I'm 29.
31. Yeah, we've seen all the championships.
Oh yeah.
Your childhood was championships. Yeah. Our childhood was like tears, and it continues to be.
Yeah.
Like I went to
fun teams, but
I went to like every single championship before I was 18, and we won every single one that I went to, besides the Patriots when they were 17-0 and they lost to the Giants that year. So it's the only time I've ever been where they didn't win. But yeah, we did get spoiled for a long time. So like now all the old people in the bars, like even the other night, you saw Bruins had the most wins in the season, most successful year ever, losing the first round. And every other old guy at the bar is like, welcome to our era of sports. Like, you guys had it good for a while, but.
Well, yeah, you hear like Portnoy sitting on right now, who's like, we didn't even make it. It's not even that big of a deal. They weren't even that good. It's like, that's how caught up in this shit you guys are. Because when Minnesota teams even get in the playoffs, we're like, dude, this is a big deal. Like the whole city shuts down. Like when the Twins go to like the playoffs, you can't get out of work early. It's done. Everyone gets it. I'm sure maybe it was like that for in Boston for a while, but at some point you guys start winning so many championships. People are like, jump off every championship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It got to a point like you'd be watching a game for the Pats, like especially in that 07 season, you'd see them score the first two touchdowns. It's 14-0. You'd shut it off and like literally go out and play. Cause you're like,
oh my God.
Guaranteed win. See you later. See you next year. See you in the playoffs.
The Bruins felt that way too this season against the Panthers. I mean, it was that's fucking terrible. That one hurt.
Celtics lost last night too.
We're in trouble. We're in trouble. We can't win
that was
a championship.
A great game, though. Sorry.
And you guys have had the Celtics. Like when Garnett went to the Celtics, Minnesota fans were happy with it.
I wasn't.
Well, I was because it was like, dude, the guy didn't
championship. I know.
He was the best. That was the best team we've had. We love that fucking Celtics team.
Anything is possible.
And he still stands up for Minnesota.
Yes, he does stand up for Minnesota. So yeah, we'll
give he retired in Minnesota, right?
He retired in Minnesota, and then Minnesota sucks, and he actually tried to buy the Timberwolves, and they
should have done that. That would have been so sick.
Minnesota sports that you do not let Kevin Garnett buy the Timberwolves, and it's the worst.
Yeah. Just give him one of those, like,
drama,
right? You give him, like, the branding.
Come on.
How long? Right. So how long have you guys been in West Hollywood or California?
I've been in LA for 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in LA for maybe 7 years now. Okay. Something like that. I was in San Francisco for 3.5.
What was the transition like going from the small market of Minnesota to then going to California, kind of broadening horizons with the Sunshine State?
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up in Minneapolis, so not that like Minneapolis and West Hollywood are like the same, but I at least was familiar with like more of a city environment. I was also really lucky because I had a couple of friends from high school and one friend from college here. So it was like a really easy just friendship transition to get here. And then what I like about this area in particular is that if you meet someone who's from California, at least in West Hollywood, you're like, oh, really? That's interesting. So it's just this huge blending part of that's like makes it super, super interesting, especially when it comes to the sports side too. You're always going to have someone to talk shit to in the bar.
Well, in the media world, it's cool because you can get access to so many people. You know, like, you just happenstance run into so many individuals and you become friends with people that you can kind of equally like put each other on. It is funny when people are like, I literally have people that'll say, like, how have you done with like the huge cultural change? It's a really sick city.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that like these smaller markets actually do better than some of these bigger cities. So it's an interesting thing because, you know, I go back home to like the different like gyms or a lot of even the restaurants. Sometimes like these little markets outkick their coverage and they do have small town mentality where like all my friends are like, what was it like to go back to go to LA? Like, I don't know, a bar is a bar.
Yeah.
A restaurant's a restaurant.
Minneapolis is low key, like amazing.
Inside us out, it's, you know, that's chaos too.
There's a couple Barneys in Minnesota, but just the average.
Oh, God. Minnesota is Barney.
Yeah. Shout out the Loon in downtown Minneapolis.
That's probably odd about what we do too, is we do find ourselves in a lot of these like regular bars.
It's comfortable too.
It's comfortable. Yeah. And that's where you know, like you go to a lot of the establishments that we're at and it's like locals. So it's not far off of a bar. I guess it's a little bit more glamorous to be like an everyday bar visitor in West Hollywood than it would probably be in Rochester, Minnesota. Right. I'm like, in Rochester, you're called the town drunk.
Yeah, they're an artist, and they're just trying to get inspiration for the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I lived in New York for a little bit, and that was the same thing. You'd see like these people that you think are like drunks at the bar, and they're like, "That guy's worth like $800 million in like paints when he leaves here. He's on mushrooms right now."
Yeah. Well, the weird thing about LA too is like no one has a normal job, so like Wednesday nights or a random day when people are drinking at the bar, you're like, does that guy have a job? I'm like, that guy has a really good job. He's probably like runs a studio.
Yeah.
Even though you can't get people to work here. It's weird running a company that actually has like a lot of needs and a lot of things to make happen on a daily basis. People just don't work out here. I don't know what to tell you. It's bizarre.
I lived in San Diego for a bit. That's what I found. I was like, all right, I'm just not going to work. And then I had to leave. I made it like 4 months and I was like, I just racked up a ton of credit card debt. I got to get out of here. But it was fun.
You have to be careful. That culture will observe you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can find yourself being like, oh, yeah, it's totally cool.
I was literally going to the beach every day. I was like, this is it. This is my life now. And then I was like, I'm actually out of money. I'm fucked.
Yeah. If I didn't have my parents to call me, like,
yeah, they dragged me out of it.
Just so you know, this is not us. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll hold up the name. Let's go.
Are you guys like the only one running this show right now? Is there like a producer behind you right now, or this is all you?
No, this is us.
Tachi does pretty much all of the producing. I'm doing all of the different like technical aspects, but at the same time, then we're also bleeding into all the other kind of more like strategic stuff in the background. So we try to, for our own sanity's sake, kind of create those things where it's like, okay, you do this, I do that. But at the same time, we're kind of just tackling the same mission on a daily basis.
I was just going to ask, like, so what's like one of the mainest, biggest things like that you've learned or like a hurdle that you've had to conquer, like getting into the like producing world as far as like editing or like as far as like anything with just dealing with clientele or producers or directors or anything like that?
It's crazy. Everyone. It doesn't make any sense. I don't like everyone's like just they got the weird little screens. I love it.
That's what's funny because I've been in this world, like I knew that. And for him to come in sometimes and be like, do you know what everyone in entertainment's crazy? I'm like, yeah, this whole town is like insane. And
I'm crazy. I'm not saying a bad type of crazy, like they need to
choose this. Like a normal person who's like, I like my life and like stability and everything else great in this world wouldn't be like, I really want to go into media.
Yeah.
No, it's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Don't do it.
Yeah. And I think the biggest surprise for me, at least within the last really year, is realizing within the new sphere of media, how many people are not behind the scenes. How small teams really are and how
which is encouraging.
It's really encouraging. There's so much space in that marketplace. Even within some of the like largest media entities that are currently out there, everyone's still trying to figure out what this next phase looks like. I would say the biggest hurdle is always going to be like editors. Mm-hmm. I think it's really hard to find editors that will like stick with you, that are good and make sense,
quick, understand the vision,
yeah,
can like handle workload.
And AI might take that out. It might actually take that need out.
That'll be really fun.
I still play around with a lot of these AI things, and they're just not that yet.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about that because we have a producer here runs Hedgebetter Studios. Creation content. So Justin's like our main editor, but I'll send him stuff all day long with like the new AI tools where say like before we have like a switcher, a flipper, it's like a Delgado Pro, whatever. So we're doing all the different camera angles by manual input. So like the new thing, right, you can just upload all three videos and it's chopping it up in 15 seconds, like perfectly timed when like other people are about to talk. So I was going to ask if you dabbled into any of that or...
Did you use like the Autopod right now?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have it right now. Like we just started to like kind of like get into it, but we haven't tried it out yet. Yeah. That's like our next.
Well, I think it really came to market within the last like month or two, right?
100%.
I have played around with it. I still haven't been able to figure out how to do it perfectly. You know, just like you see the TikTok video and you're like, oh my God, you just created what I've always desired.
Yeah.
But I haven't functionally been able to figure out how to make it do what that does within that little 15-second clip. It seems like it should work. All of this comes down to there's nuances of stuff. No creator will ever understand what it really takes to produce this stuff in the back end. Like,
true.
Computers are always crashing. You never have enough memory. You never have enough internet speed to get stuff up and down within the time frames that allow. So there's just so many technical growth aspects,
yeah,
that are unperceived by a lot of people on the front end of stuff.
That's a huge thing and huge lesson. And I don't understand it like, all the time. It's crazy.
But it doesn't really cost as much as it takes to produce like a CNN show either, right? So it's like, it's that weird little middle ground where it's like, you're always one editor off.
Right.
But you're competing with these people that have like 12-man teams and
million-dollar production teams. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and it's like we can produce an episode for literally nothing. Yeah, we have all the gear and stuff, but
and I still feel like
I don't know.
I feel like creators too don't understand like what you just said. Like all those like technical like just random thing. You go to upload a YouTube video could take 10 minutes. You go to upload one the next day, it's taking like 17 days. You're like, what's going on? It's the same video, same amount of cuts. Like I don't know, just so weird. But like you said, like I've always like think about too, is it like my gear, do I need the $10,000 computer to make sure I have the RAM and the memory and the space? But like it's kind of like just trial and error. So is there anyone you look up to or like have in your like kind of world that is like either higher up that you look at and try and like take like kind of tips or pointers from, or
on the technical side, or
just on both sides,
podcasting in general? Yeah. Even like someone you're aspiring to compete with or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I really love what Dave Porter and I both love about Swiss sports. I think he redefined what it takes. And also what I appreciate most what Barstool does is they don't always have to have like perfect production all the time. You know, they rely on like authenticity of voice. And so within the sports sphere of things, I like love what they've created.
Of course.
Within cultural stuff, I love what, you know, Joe Rogan's created, where he's willing to like lean in and just like sit and build. You know, I'm surprised that like a Joe Rogan didn't build a kind of a larger entity, but I also
focus on UFC and comedy.
Then when you get down to the details of it, you realize, oh shit, like he realized in order to create a great product every time, you really can't like broaden your bandwidth that far. I think they kind of tried to do that with like Death Star Studios or whatever for a second with Redman. And I think he isolated for himself from that because he's like, this gets just too messy. He's like, I just want to talk. I just want to focus on guests and do that stuff. So, and then I'm, you know, really interested in like groups like Rumble that are creating more space to allow these types of conversations to happen, like culturally and politically. And I want to see more breathing room, not just for like the right in spaces like that, but also for like comedy and other like left wing, like cultural conversations. I want it for like everybody. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
kind of where we come from too.
And you know, Andrew Schultz with Flagrant, I think I could go down the list of comedy podcasts that have proven that people are willing to listen to a comedian talk about like comedy and politics. So I like what they've done. Now I want to see more like really like more like broadly educated individuals also have like that same like freedom of space to just like talk their shit.
Yeah. I was actually for a long time kind of a Portnoy Barstool hater, and I'm willing to admit that, and that like my behavior and my opinion of him and what they've done has changed. I think I definitely fell into like the headline catchy I hate women type situation that was his brand, if you will, like 5 years ago. And I had, you know, some friends that were really vocal about like, actually, like, of course there's this and this, but like listen to a little bit more of what they do. Like it's actually kind of how you talk a lot of the time. So I've appreciated, and that's been a lesson that I've learned in this process too, of what goes into creating something that he's done and then having a little bit more respect overall for who they are.
And I guess the last one too is I'm really interested to see what like Tom Segura and like Bert do.
Two bears, one cave.
The next wave of what happens where, you know, Bert has had a joke turn into a movie.
Right.
And so we know we've seen podcasts turn into product, and now like jokes are turning into movies. There's huge space for the type of comedy movie that we grew up on that hasn't existed in the last 10 years.
That's true.
It's like, where are these like just fun, like kitschy little movies that, you know, you've kind of really, I think that's why you found a lot of like bro culture lean into the Flagrants, the, you know, Two Bears, One Cave, the Tim Dillons, the Milk Boys, like all of that stuff, because they're like, we're always desiring to just have goofy, fun, like escapism comedy that like doesn't always have to be touching on like everything all the time.
Right.
I think these new smaller studios that have made a lot of money since COVID are going to like reposition the market, and the big players just aren't going to matter anymore. Like what Nelk and First Sender is doing, it's unreal. Like Steve Wojcik has more influence than a lot of people in media, and this dude just has one camera guy. And he also doesn't seem like that interested in always like pushing the line forward that often. He's just like, people like his the people that listen to him freaking love him. There's good reason that they love him, because he's truly authentic to like who he is, and he's willing to also just kind of like sit in it.
Right.
It's like not always trying to like create like a brand new show, not always trying to do something like obscene every single time. He's just like, I'm just going to kind of like run around and give people money and like have a little bit of fun with it. It's interesting to see what these guys are doing.
I think that is the future. I think authenticity is always going to shine through and definitely be like the big player and who stands the test of time. So where do you guys see yourself going in the future? Like you mentioned like Rumble or anything. Would you ever like try and get onto like another bigger platform to try and create your expansion of like reach, or are you trying to like create your own thing where like you'd eventually get to the point where you could be doing that for other creators to come on? Or where do you guys see yourself in like a 5-year, 10-year time frame?
Yeah, I think like definitely Rumble is really interesting for us.
Yeah.
They're really leaning into like the live spaces. And I think that really for us, too. That makes sense. Like, I think, you know, live companion stuff with sports makes a lot of sense, like different dual audio type of components where it's like, I don't always need to hear NBC's commentary on a game that I'm doing. I'm interested in seeing how niche those types of listening and viewing environments go.
And we've naturally kind of found ourselves in the shows that we're working with kind of to be in that full circle back on the sports realm too, which I find is interesting. That wasn't our intention. And it's not who we are completely, but a lot of who's rolling with Purple Banter tends to be in that space and feels comfortable for us too. So a live stream situation hones really well for that.
We used to do that during COVID with the UFC. Once you get the email saying cease and desist or whatever, that's scary, but it was so much. It was so fun. It was so fun. A big guy would like retweet us on Twitter and like 10,000 people rush in and we're all just like holy shit, this is fucking on the real.
It's what people want.
And they're like, will you guys shut up and turn the volume up? We don't want to listen to you. We're here for the stream. We're like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do you think that a lot of these like bigger conglomerates that own these sports worlds are going to like kind of dip into the space of allowing 100%. People to like not show their
shit? They need to.
But almost like be able to.
I don't see Roger Goodell, for example, bending over anytime soon, even though I think he needs to get bent over harder than anyone. Like, he needs to grab ankles at some point, and I think his time will come.
Drop the soap.
But I do think Dana White understands this media market better than anybody right now. And so I would look more to a guy like Dana to be able to redefine what sports media looks like. And then I would bet everything on that guy in the next 10 years of what this all looks like.
Yeah.
And I think the NFL has a looming crisis on their hand if they don't continue to let more people.
Not even just the NFL. Like, I mean, ESPN, all of the major sports networks, I don't really know many people who want to sit down and like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch First Take. No offense, I can't watch First Take anymore. Like, drives me nuts.
I haven't watched ESPN in like forever.
I watch SportsCenter. Yeah. I watch SportsCenter at night. That's what I do. But it's not groundbreaking. It's the same show that has been around since ESPN started, which is great, which is why I like it. I honestly fall asleep to it because it's like so repetitive that it's like a nursery rhyme.
It really is.
Well, you get Scott Van Pelt at 9:00. We have to wait till 12:00. So that's my like actual go to. I'll like wake up from a sleep.
It is. He's like reading you a bedtime story. Like Scott Van Pelt is reading you a bedtime story and you're going to sleep.
And that's the thing. Like, I have watched all of my sports on a VPN. Come find me for the last 10 years. Right. And I haven't had cable for a decade.
Right.
So, like, where is it going? It's so interesting. Now, one of the things that I think we are trying to define ourselves at Purple Banter is, like, we've learned from all of these different sports, chaotic, and comedic environments of how to be able to be self-sustaining and live in your silo that allows your fan base to love and support you. I want to see a little more of that in other, like, spheres, too. Like, one like of the less divisive media political spheres, and then some of like the cultural conversations too. So we're trying to make sure that we're creating programming for that as well. We don't know where it's going. It's going somewhere different.
Right.
How many shows do you guys have on Purple Banter?
Was it six right now?
Right now we have like six.
I know you guys on
if we like started to upload it better.
Are you on all of them or no? Like, you're involved with all of them, but not talking on all of them, correct?
No, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Gotcha. Sometimes we're, you know, just supporting groups with their sponsorships.
Right.
So, and then sometimes you're really straight ground up from, let's find you a logo, let's build your intro, let's help you, you know, prepare for each episode and video, do all the cut downs, everything. So we do find ourselves still learning on all capacities to figure out where do we really fit into this mix.
Yeah.
I don't know where we fit in yet. I think we're still kind of learning what we do best.
Do you guys want to see Bounce Back Brew?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, Tim, you want to come bring Bounce Back over here?
Oh, no. The 76ers fans in the building. I can't yeah. deal with this right now.
We got some Boston fans. You can talk some shit.
He can shit on us. We're weak right now.
Kid still dreams about the Philly play call.
Bring one over. This will be a reveal.
Okay.
How much does it pop on the shelf, Chad?
I want to rip like a case of
this
today. Oh,
come here.
Just get in there.
Get in here.
Get in the setup for a second. Oh, my God.
Stealing that.
Timmy Bounce Back.
Timmy boy.
Here we go, Timmy.
How are we doing? Nice to see you. So here it is.
Ooh.
Here it is.
Teddy Bruschi. There you go. New England.
Love it.
Those look good.
That same Caddyshack poster.
Oh, dude.
Where is
yeah, that? We got a whole bunch. We actually have the Eagle Tribune right here, but it's a Tom Brady when he beat Philly the original time. So I hit it up.
The last time Tom Brady faced Philly, we know what happens.
I know. We all know.
I need a rubber match. Hey, you guys watched that Celtics game last night?
We did.
Jeez.
You think James Harden's doing 50 every single game, though? I don't know.
Well, the question is, do you think Joel Embiid plays game two or not?
I hope not. Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty worried right now.
Did I see it? Just the first game?
I mean, it was crazy, dude. I know. We'll see. It's going to be tough.
Back with it.
Since chemistry didn't look good last night.
Those look great. Can I get a little bit of a close-up on that just to see the can?
Oh, yeah.
You'll be seeing these. If you're ever in West Hollywood, make sure to check out Barney's in the State House. Sure
I want one so bad. I want to grab it through the screen and chug one right now.
I can't wait to see the original first sip to after you do your live show today. So
yep, today.
What's it feel like having your own beer? That's a pretty cool fucking feeling.
It's another life. It's in the cartoon life of Timmy. Like, these guys, Chad and Kat, planned everything. And like, it's Monday. I'm driving a huge rental car. I'm blinded one fucking eye. There's a fucking pallets of beer shifting around. I'm not a good driver. And they're like, dude, it's a federally regulated product. It's alcohol. So now I got to go to a distributor. And I'm like, in fucking Long Beach. I mean, who fucking knows? Crazy.
Hey, but you got your muscle. I saw Katya lifting up the power jack.
Yeah. He's like on the phone. I'm like pulling
power. Yeah, she's like recording. Who'd you accredit your strength to? We're giving them a shout out. What gym are you going to right now?
Oh, I'm Breakable Performance. Are you familiar? Jim
Glazer? No. I just saw that you posted that.
Yeah, so Unbreakable, let me name drop. Okay. Unbreakable Performance is the gym I go to. Jay Glazer from Fox is the owner. So it's like a fighters / training gym that a lot of athletes and some celebs go to over here. Nate Bowler, good episode. Yeah.
Have to check it out. So just congratulations on everything you guys have planned for the future. About other than the beer launch and the success of that, is there anything else you guys are looking forward to in the near future?
Oh, yeah, the Celtics.
Oh, my God. I knew I didn't want him on here.
We're going to be careful, Timmy. Be careful. We're coming for that ass.
Series, like,
it is.
Sure.
Oh, 100%. We talk so much shit about the Sixers on this podcast. We're due for them to beat us, but it's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
They're
going
to
blow.
To give you a little bit of peace, we've seen what has happened. What has happened this entire year with Philly sports and championships. So, like, if they do make it there, more than likely they're not going to take it. So
yeah, but even if they just beat us, that's
shit.
They'll be pumped if they just beat us. I don't even think they care about
Philly's NBA finals is beating the Celtics this series. After that, they don't even give a fuck what happens after that.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
I'll be rooting for them at that point, though, if they beat us. Because
you got to stick with the East.
I do fuck with Philly. I like when they win championships and just terrorize their city.
They're just assholes.
They're low class. Yeah. They're dumpy people. No offense to Timmy.
Grease up the poles.
Grease the poles.
I've seen them licking horse shit at parade day. Like, that's crazy stuff.
Oh, my God.
I respect it, though. I have nothing but respect for that.
Yeah, I mean, they're good people. Like, Philly people are, like, some of my favorite people in the world. But there's something wrong genetically. Like, something in that.
It's that water. It's that water that goes to the city.
You're not far from it.
No, I was going to say, they're probably the closest thing to Boston people is the Philly people, or just a little bit more. Yeah.
When you meet Boston people out in Cali, like, they're different. At least the ones I've met, they're like, yeah, I kind of hate it, the Cali vibe here, because everyone's laid back. They're not as fiery and loyal as us, but they're all looking at us like these guys are scumbags. Like, Cali people, I don't think fuck with Boston people. Maybe.
No,
I don't know.
It's definitely a culture clash.
Yeah.
There's a culture clash for sure.
Because we're like the hardworking, loyal people.
Everybody. I don't know.
I feel like that whenever someone from the Northeast goes down to, like, say it's either Texas or California, they're like, dude, everyone's so fucking nice. Like, you walk past someone, someone's
we're not
like,
used to it.
Yeah, you're like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, is this person trying to rob me right now? Or in Boston, you have your head down, you're going to your third job of the day. You're like, leave me the fuck alone. I got somewhere to go.
Bad weather.
But in LA, they are trying to rob you now. That's a real thing.
Oh my God.
So I got my last question for you guys. So for obviously a growing network platform ourselves, what would you say is like the biggest advice for either getting a sponsorship or trying to just like put our name out there to these bigger platforms to like kind of get some recognition or some like partnerships of some sort?
First, I would say, don't be afraid to go to the biggest people in the place right now. Those emails do work. They will answer them. You will get a trial run with pretty much any of the largest groups.
And like, you should be there. Like, we're the pros of not being assholes, but like being like, we belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And people respect that because you're like, oh, there's like there's a confidence, but not an ego.
Yeah. I would say also, this is not a competition. Like, everyone should work together in this.
Yeah.
So whenever you think there's a competing podcast, collab with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have those people on, work with each other. There's more than enough room for everybody in this space. I mean, just think about all the people in sports that like influence all of us. We know all of their names. We care about what they're building. We might not buy all of their t-shirts and stuff, but just, you know, viewing and liking a video, like, it helps.
Message for everyone that's not in the content world too, because you guys get it. Like, if you're scrolling on Instagram, you just hit the like, and you're not in the media world, you have no idea how much like that like and that second of your day can help someone's business overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many people from like back home or whatever. And like, dude, I see you watching my story, but I also see you not liking my shit.
Yeah.
So
I have 1,000 viewers on a story and 250 likes on my thing. And then 100 views on my video with zero comments. Right. I'm like, I'm not even texting the guys in my group chat. I know exactly. Like, comment, and
you're
share.
Just being a hater. Love exactly.
That. And then don't be surprised how far this can go. To like, have faith in the place that the things that you're learning in any environment, if you're learning and where media is going right now, it's better to be dabbling in it and not be the best in the game, but still know that you'll be prepared for these like other waves that are coming. Because who would ever have known where we're at right now? Like, Fox News is kind of like going down.
Yeah.
Like, how is it that such
I was
a
thinking
media-
that. How does everyone even pay a cable bill anymore? Like, the fact is people are still paying $100 a month to watch regular TV when you have unlimited amount of information and entertainment on your phone or your computer.
Yeah.
Or all you need is Wi-Fi, essentially. That's the biggest part.
Right.
It's wild.
And it's weird because, you know, you have groups like YouTube, too, which, like, are the biggest out there, and everyone thinks that they're, like, the new Walmart. If they're not careful, a Rumble will grab all of that
100%.
Before you know it. So it's just this continuing like ebbs and flows of, one, don't think you're too good for what's currently happening. You have to continue to evolve or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
That's good advice.
Got any last questions?
That's good advice. No, I think we got to make a trip out there.
Yeah.
Next time we come to Cali,
get out here.
Maybe we can come stop by and visit you guys.
That beer is going to sell out quick, so we better book that soon.
Better go very quick.
I hope so.
Well, this is the thing. So we got Timmy Bounce Back. He is a perpetual gambler and a daily drinker. We got 700 beers, and if anybody out there loves Tim as a person and cares about his health, please, God, come down to West Hollywood and buy a beer before he drinks them off. They're all in his apartment.
Oh, boy.
He's drinking through it. Once he opens his first can today,
there's
a timeline till all of these beers are gone.
What's the over-under on 20 beers today for Timmy? Over-under.
Today?
Like today.
A very good line. That is a very good line because it is mean.
So
are those 16 ounces?
They're 16 ounces too.
Yeah.
If he does more than 20, that's fucking crazy.
Like 12.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's a good line.
12.
Yeah. So that'd be 18, 12 facts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be 16. So.
All right. So 12. Yeah. Over under 12.
Yeah, you guys,
I'm hammering the over.
For Timmy Bounce Back's birthday party next Saturday at State Social House.
Oh, shit.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
So you can have a bounce back.
Yeah, so I don't even care. If you're a kid in Sweden right now and you care about Tim Bader, you need to book a flight within the next week or else these beers are going to be gone and your favorite creator, he's going to be half in the wind.
Yeah, what's a shelf life on that? I might just buy them all and start flipping and selling them.
Yeah.
Not a bad investment.
It's going to be a collector's item. It's going to be a collector's item sometime.
We'll resell them off to Bob Menery.
But yeah, like I said, thanks for coming on. Get him a couple zaps. Every 1700 will be gone.
God, there would be a death match in the middle of state right here. Chad would lose the building because of all the blood in the place. They wouldn't be able to cook food here for like 3 years.
That's hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah, condemned, fucking destroy the building. Block needs to get burned, salted after.
Seriously.
But yeah, good luck to the Vikings this year. Good luck to Purple Banter. I don't know. Thank I kind of like the name Boston Banter. We might have to.
No.
Start clapping, boys.
I like it.
Thank you
for having us.
Absolutely. Thank
you
guys. Thanks for coming on. Talk to you soon.
That was
maybe see you at the birthday party.
School bikes. God bless y'all.
Have a good one.
School.
School.
Worst thing because that every time we suck, every team just mimics us. It's the best and the worst thing in the entire world. That and the gritty.
Why?
Every time
for Justin Jefferson?
Yes.
All
right. It's like, I love the gritty, but then if JJ fucks up and is covered well, every safety, you're like, woo.
Can you gritty?
Like, you get it. No. I mean, maybe. I've never even tried because I think I'd be too embarrassed.
Yeah. After a couple bounce backs.
Johnny Sweet's on the spectrum. Gritties. He's pretty great at it.
We'll have to see that in the future.
Actually, yeah. Do we play the Patriots this year? It's in. Okay. It's in Boston.
Have you ever been to Boston?
Would
by the way?
You guys come?
Yeah, I. My ex was from out there, so okay. I've spent a lot of time out there.
Any notable places you used to visit when you used to be here?
Boston.
Harvard Yard.
Harvard Yard.
He was from Portsmouth, so we would like. We'd go to Portsmouth for most of the time, and then he'd have to take me to Boston.
He's
like,
from Portsmouth. Please don't tell me he used to tell people he's from Boston still.
No.
Okay.
No.
We live 10 minutes outside the city, and we're technically not allowed to say we're from Boston, but that's a touchy subject. We're
pretty close.
But I was like, we get really anxious in Portsmouth, so like we have to go to Boston for a few days at least. Just very, very small.
Yeah. Boston, yeah, Boston's definitely a pretty major. Is Minneapolis fucking huge, like compared to Boston?
It's kind of similar vibes. Boston has so much like East Coast in it that
so different.
It feels bigger. It feels bigger than Minneapolis, but it's got to be similar.
Similar size,
yeah. Yeah, but like you said, Portsmouth has nothing on either of them. Portsmouth is like, you're there for like the weekend, couple bars and restaurants.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
No, it's
nice.
It's
not a city.
New England town.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like really cute. You have dinner and you leave.
Hey,
pretty much.
That's dope.
Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe go skiing around there, something like that.
I don't ski.
No?
No, I don't. But I do want to go out. I do want to go out for that Patriots game. Because one of my really good friends is just moved to, what's that casino down there? Like right outside
Encore?
There.
Yeah, the Encore. Encore.
No, by Meadowlands.
Oh.
Isn't there a casino down there? Or,
Plainville?
Plain Ridge?
Maybe.
Plain
Ridge? I don't know. Yeah. He just moved over there. I gotta get over there.
That's dope. Place.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean the Meadowlands? We play in Foxborough.
Not the Meadowlands. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, I think it's a whole different state. I think it's three states.
I think you're in Jersey. Are you in Jersey?
Yeah, no, exactly. No. Oh, that's even worse than Philly and Boston.
Well, if you do come for that game, hit us up.
Yeah. We'll give you a tour.
Some work.
We're live.
Yeah,
for sure. We're live.
100%. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right, boys. See ya.
Have fun. See ya. Peace.